to work and inject some energy into council to assist us in what we desire for our people. Te Aro acknowledged the needs of the community at large, but desired to develop a model that is consistent with Te Aro Tikanga aspirations, social and physical needs. And I'm not going to repeat the emphasis on the Treaty of Waitangi. It's all here. Those who attended the presentations around the district were provided with all information about the Treaty of Waitangi, the Local Government Act, and all those acts that relate to this council working with Te Arawa. The council could be made redundant in some areas where Te Arawa is currently active. The new model proposed by Te Arawa will strengthen the relationship of this council, the mayor, and iwi. Additionally, Te Arawa can grow and enhance its relationship with other councils through its shared understanding with other tribes. Te Arawa has a great relationship with other tribes, and when they travelled, they were called first because of their acknowledgement of how important Te Arawa is through their relationship in our iwi. The establishment of such proposed board will be the first of its kind in the country, although I heard there were others as well, but we are looking at this positively, and for the benefit of the tribe, then we will set the parameters for development. It is undisputable that change cannot be effected through muscle power. There is and will always be a need for flexibility of consultation and meaningful discussion at which we're in council are involved. The Te Arawa is looking for long-term solution in terms of strategic planning and development. Its vision for the 2030 are as follows. Identify commonalities with the District Council 2030 vision, formulating a Te Arawa RDC partnership, funding arrangement, agreement, governance and advice operations, active participation in developing and strengthening the iwi forums and clusters. I've only got a couple of lines left, Your Worship, and I don't want to waste my time in coming here because it's so important. The Arawa partnership I seek that the Arawa at the Rotorua District Council adopt is number 2 statement of proposal Te Arawa partnership model. I believe there are strong indications there where Council Te Arawa and the Council can make it work under that strategic partnership model. Thank you for allowing me to make this submission, which is made in good faith and on behalf of Te Arawa, notwithstanding the rights of all individuals and the community. I think we have a great opportunity here, one and all. Some of us, certainly this has divided the majority of us. But who is going to say that your mokapuna, a Pākehā, is not going to marry my mokapuna, a black Māori, and develop a partnership there? Somebody I was talking to on the phone, and I think she's here now, asked me, what do I think about this partnership? I said, well, if you and I went down to the altar and we signed the form there, what do you think the partnership will be? We need to make it work. We need to make it work. So your worship, tēnā koe, tēnā koutou, I te kaunihira.
Do remain there for questions, Councillor Kent.
Yep. Thank you, Your Worship, and thank you for your submission, sir. I have two questions that I'm interested in your views on. One is, did the Te Arawa Standing Committee, in your view, ever successfully work? And the second one is, what are your views on the creation of Māori wards?
Well, I've worked on both of them. I worked for the benefit of Te Arawa on the wards, along with other colleagues of mine, Maureen Walker and Tony Weehop and others, to see if we can get that in place. There was an option there that we could have used. Unfortunately, my people thought there was a better model than that to work with. What was the other one now? The first one you asked.
Your view on whether the Te Aroha Standing Committee was successful?
Well, I believe we did. When I was on it, we were able to do some of the things that we asked the mayor to carry forward. See, we deliberately appointed the mayor as chairman of our standing committee so that we could discuss matters, we can go on the marae. The marae's were open to us to travel and have our meetings on the marae and talk to the people of what they wanted and their aspirations of how the council could help their marae. A lot of those marae's benefited from having their driveways and their roadways sealed to top quality. And they're there today. Some of them had outside lights to identify where their marae were. There were a lot of things there we were able to achieve through the actions of our actions, determining that the mayor would take it to this committee that these guys here sit on. Any more before I go to Honolulu?
No, there were a couple of other questions. Don't run away. Councillor McVicar.
Thank you, Your Worship. Honourable, good to see you.
Okay.
Trust you are well. I do have an affinity with this respected elder, I must admit, and I enjoy your commentary. But given that we must explore all avenues with an open mind, I'd like to ask a similar question that Councillor Kent asked you. Is there any potential in the future for the Te Aroha Standing Committee to be effective under the leadership of Our Worship the Mayor as the chairman? That question has arisen, been brought up today, and I'd be interested in your comments, Honourable.
Well, possibly it could. But we've moved on from there, and my people, and especially the young drivers of this, which I am supporting, are looking for the option of setting up a council with and beside the council, district council. We want to be party to the decision making. We want to sit in there and promote the ideals that we believe are to the benefit of all the community and not just Talawa. So it's moved on from the standing committee. The standing committee, I look at it now, unfortunately I was there, but we've gone away from that now. But I say with a good mayor like Stevie, I think she could make anything work. Even my broken down Model A, I'm sure she can do that.
Was another question, Councillor Sturgeon and Councillor Tapps.
Kia ora te rangatira. Anaru, one of the words that you used that nobody else has used in the submission process is in good faith. And one of the things I want you to explain, I know what the words mean, but I think the words need explaining, what tato actually means.
Thank you. That's actually what I wanted to say at the beginning, to talk about the motto outside and the meaning of tato. And when I say in good faith, I like to see things work properly and good and have faith in what I do. So anything I submit is just not written on a bit of paper from things I might have dreamt up this morning. I've had to give a lot of thought to what I could put into a submission and all submissions that I do make, that I am not trying to fool you or anybody else. That's why I'm doing it in good faith. And hopefully I don't let anyone down. I want my people to be successful, young people are coming through, and I want more of the Lady Tapsell here. I want more of them in our district leading this walk of ours. But I don't want all women, I want men too.
Our time is up. and we respect the timing of other submitters, but we thank you for coming before us today.
Thank you, and tato, tato. Oh.
And now I ask Maurice Meha, submission number 1206, on page 136.
Madam Chair, just before Maurice sits down, aroha, my apologies for absence today at my daughter's graduation.
We accept all apologies and we understand absences because it can happen to any of us, so thank you for that. Kia ora, Maurice.
Kia ora. Ko mata whaura te maunga.
Mata whaura is the mountain.
Roto iti, roto ehu, roto mā, nā
roto
moana.
Roto iti, roto mā, roto ehu are the lakes.
Kore ki te wao, me tapu ai hararu, nā one pū. Ōkere kai tūna, poko poko, nā awa. Tautara, roto iti, roto mā, waitangi, te tāhuna, nā whenua. Nā te tamate tūtahi kawiti, nā hapū. Tapu ai hararu te marae, ti hei Māori ora. Tuatahi, te mihi ki te atua, kuia te tīmatanga me te mutunga, nāna nei, kuia nā mea katoa.
Firstly, acknowledge the Lord Almighty. He is the beginning and end of all things.
Tuarua, ko rātou, kua haere ki whetūrangi tia. Haere, haere, haere. Ko Arthur Midwood.
Secondly, those who have departed, let us remember them and farewell them.
Te toa, te hoia.
In particular, Arthur Midwood, who was...
O Kamupene B, o Tū Mātauinga, me rātou kua wehe, kia haere ki te wāhi naro.
Who was a proud warrior amongst the battalion of the 28 Māori Battalion B Company. Let us remember them also.
Ko Arthur, ko Ngāti Tamatea Tūtahi.
Arthur is Ngāti Tamatea Tūtahi.
Ko au, whakai, tautoko, Te Arawa Partnership.
I support and agree with the Te Arawa Partnership model.
Now I'll break into Pākehā. Okay. Prior to the establishment of the Rotorua Township, the hapū of Te Arawa have always fought to maintain our mana and ahikā occupation rights over our lands. These lands extend far wider than the Rotorua Township. The Rotorua Lakes Council District extends east to Lake Rotomā, the rohe of Ngāti Tamatea Tūtahi, west to Mamaku, the Ngāti Tura rohe, and south to Reporoa, the hapu whenua of Ngāti Tahu and Ngāti Whāua, and north to Taheke, the whenua of Ngāti Pūkea. Prior to the arrival of Pākehā, the hapu of Te Arawa have always upheld our mana over the people and the land. Our ancestral rights are as strong today as they have ever been, despite the veiled racist rantings of the pro-democracy group. It is appropriate that as Anzac Day approached, or has been, that we remember our tūpuna, who fought with distinction in all wars since the Boer War. Men like my great-granduncle, Te Rei Whati Virko, was one such warrior, along with many of our other tūpuna. Several paid the ultimate sacrifice and lie in foreign lands. They fought for a better country, a better society for Te Arawa, for their mokopuna. This is what Bomb Robert Gillies of B Company, the 28th Māori Battalion, told me at Arthur Midwood's tangi. He said, "Maurice, we went to fight for a better country for our people, and yet 70 years later, nothing has changed." My first kōrero was about who will protect our rights as tangata whenua so that we will not be lied to again, so that we will not be treated as second-class citizens in our own country, so that our mana is not trampled on time and again. The proposed Te Arawa Partnership model will protect our rights and ensure that our mana is upheld. And I'll give several examples about that. For example, my hapu, Ngāti Tamatea Tūtahi Kawiti, have been not been treated fairly by the District Council, the former mayor, its former CEO, council officials, and some councillors. Over time, injustices have been perpetuated historically and currently by local councils against us. Examples include the Crown transferred title to Tamatea Street to the Rotorua County Council in the 1960s. I lodged a claim Y749 to the Waitangi Tribunal in 1999 for the return of Tamatea Street. However, during negotiations, we were told that the Crown had transferred title to the Rotorua County Council. I had written several letters to the former mayor, Kevin Winters, asking for the land to be returned, but to no avail. Our land was taken for nothing. It must be returned for nothing. My hapu cannot move forward as a partner with the Lakes Council until this past wrong has been righted. Just imagine if the council returned our land. What a great example of partnership this would be. Our community at Tapuwai Hararu and our marae were forced in the 1980s by local council to connect to the metered consumer pays reticulated Rotiti water system. We already had a successful water system installed by my grandfather, Pitumi Whata, and his brothers, which had been operating since the 1940s. Everyone at Rotiti had a water tank. We were told connect or be fined, a form of confiscation. The source of the Rotiti water system is under Māori land, and we are told that no one owns the water. Yet we have propriety rights which are not recognised by local and regional councils, and ratepayers of the hapu of Ngāti Pikia are charged a service fee to get the water to our properties. And regional council charges the ratepayer if he uses a certain amount of water. Ask the dairy farmers, and no one owns the water? Councils certainly act as though they do. Why are Ngāti Tamatea Tūtahi Kawiti ratepayers charged water rates and yet urban ratepayers are not? The cost of the Rotiti water system after 40 years in operation is paid for and should be at least cost neutral, or at best a minimal fee be charged, not $250 per household per annum. An example of revenue grabbing from a small rural community. There are about 500 people connected to the system, and that works out to about $125,000 a year. And Greg Manzano gave me the number of households at Rotiti. In 2006, Te Tahuna Trust, which I'm a trustee of, had to pay an extra $20,000 for a full resource consenting fee, resource consent hearing, as the Rotorua District Council was the only objector to our proposed land development upgrade. The council's objection, was based on a perceived change in the aesthetic view of the property from the lake. Our reply through our engineer, Luke Martin, was that it was a continuation of what was already there. We wasted $20,000 on consent fees that could have been spent on education or Kaumātua grants. One suspects that this was a revenue-grabbing exercise again by the council at the time. In 2011, a community hui was called at the Rotiti Sports Community Club Rooms to discuss the proposed reticulated sewage scheme. At the hui, I told the then mayor and the CEO to work with us, Ngāti Pikia, and not against us. What happens? 18 months later, Mark Buckley from Hydrus lies in open court saying that a meeting was held with Tautaramata Fota Trust, which I'm a member of, and that the trust was withdrawing from negotiations. It was because of his evidence and the behaviour of council staff towards Ngāti Pikia and Ngāti Makino that triggered the current Lakes Council Te Arawa Partnership model. Finally, and this is actually happening right now, and we're talking about sewage, one of the three options available to council in discharging treated sewage is one, directly into lake on into the Puadinga stream. Two, they find another property to pump this treated sewage onto. Or three, the treated sewage is pumped directly into the Kaituna River. Yet 30 years ago, our old people lodged a claim with the Waitangi Tribunal to stop that former council from dumping raw sewage into the Kaituna. So, through the Te Arawa Partnership model, we can have legitimate representation and a voice on the Lakes Council via representatives on various committees and an independent Te Arawa board. Our rights as Te Arawa hapu, tangata whenua, will be protected as we must be part of the decision-making process as outlined above. The Local Government Act 2002 and the Resource Management Act 1991 allows for this. I therefore agree with all the aspects of the Te Arawa Partnership model. If you don't learn from the mistakes of the past, then those mistakes will be perpetuated into the future. Number two, and this is on a more positive light, the growing Māori economy means that Te Arawa Hapu will be the economic drivers in the Rotorua Lakes Council District. I've got several examples here. There are three geothermal developments in the Ngāti Pukea Rohe at Rotomā, Paihinehine and Tāheke. The expectation is that in 10 to 15 years, three geothermal power stations will be built on these lands. These geothermal developments are the result of strategic partnerships with Māori River Power, Ormat and Contact Energy. There is also the development of the QE2 site by Pukeroa Orua Whata. There is also the impending vesting of the Whakarewerewe Valley, including Te Puia, in Ngāti Wāheao and Ngāti Whakau. There is also the replanting and ownership of more forests by Ngāti Pikea Trusts and Incorporations. There is also the purchase of commercial property in Rotorua by RML, a commercial investment company owned by Ngāti Pikea. There is also a pending joint venture partnership between Ngāti Pikea and Comvita, and I'm working on that. Ngāti Pikea are also establishing strategic partnerships with the Department of Conservation and the Bay of Plenty Regional Council. It makes sense, then, that the Rotorua Lakes Council should strategically align itself with Te Arawa and its hapu for the benefit of all. The proposed Te Arawa partnership model will allow for this. At the public information session held on Wednesday, 25th of March, at the Rotomā Hall, I said that the Rotorua Lakes Council should enter into a 50-50 JV relationship with Ngāti Tamatea Tūtahi Kawiti in relation to the resource consenting of our geothermal development. All we ask is that the Rotorua Lakes Council support our geothermal resource consent application to regional council. The proposed Te Arawa partnership model will allow for this. Ngāti Pikea must have two seats on the independent Te Arawa board, as we have about 6,000 iwi members. Based on the last census figures, we have 9 marae. We have the largest land ownership of any Te Arawa iwi, and we pay the most rates. In terms of mana moana, we have mana over lakes Rotorua, Rotiti, Rotehu and Rotomā, so we have a significant interest in water. We are growing in wealth, through primary sector and commercial investments. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. In closing, I'd just like to finish off with one paragraph. In conclusion, a partnership is about trust, integrity and respect. These were the reasons why Te Arawa Tupuna went to war, to fight with honour so that our people would be treated as equals in our own country. Sapuriana Nata wrote an essay called The Price of Citizenship. I recommend that you read it. I also remind you again of what Bomb Gillies told me 3 weeks ago. Morris, we went to fight for a better country for our people, and yet 70 years later, nothing has changed. Kia ora.
Thank you, Morris. And we've all got that submission, but you added some extra dimensions. We actually don't have time for questions. No, we've been very strict right through if the 10 minutes is taken up, but I think your points were very succinctly made. Thank you, Morris. Now I ask Ken Isles to the table. Thank you, Ken. And submission 1550, page 177.
Good afternoon, Your Worship. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I wasn't sure whether it would be necessary or appropriate because I'm aware of the many, many submissions. But I would like to make some simple and practical comments. They lack emotion. They are looking forward to a better way. And I hope that some value will be taken from what I say. Firstly, a couple of housekeeping matters. I would like council or those who draft comments for feedback to just contemplate on the integrity of asking questions with a design of getting a particular answer. I know it happens in surveys of our community, and I think it's time that somebody did have a look at that, and there's no exception here because there is a loaded question in the written form for making submissions. Do you support, in principle, the intention to effectively partner with Te Arawa? And, of course, I don't know why they asked that question, because there would be very few people who would not readily accept a model where a relationship was developed with such an organisation. I think what should have been asked was, do you support the proposal or not? And I found it difficult to answer that question. Unfortunately, I had to, because when I went to make my submission, I was told I hadn't answered the question. So I had to do so and then explain that I have no difficulty in the principle. I certainly have difficulty with the detail, and particularly with the voting provisions given to one community interest group. So that's number one brief comment. Not major, but certainly I wish it to be made. The second one is that I want to speak briefly about the whole consultation process. And again, I would like, as a citizen of this this district for many, many years, I would like there to be a little more integrity sometimes in the timing of such consultative processes, where some of us think that the job's done and the consultation process is merely there to affect an appearance of being interested in what we all say. I do think that the timing of a consultative process is absolutely vital, and we should feel that there is an opportunity to make a real contribution rather than to be seen as an afterthought in the process. Could I make a further comment about the whole concept of partnership and caution, because I am that kind of person and I'm aware of the meaning of the word partnership. I know it's an emotive expression, I know it's a catchy phrase, but in actual fact I read into a partnership something much more deep and detailed than I think is given to the glib expression of a partnership. I see obligations one to the other, I see liabilities one to another, I see joint and several liability, and I see Mr. Brewster on my right might actually like to comment further on the meaning of a partnership. Sometimes those catchy words rather grate and might be better used to describe what relationship is best intended. So with those thoughts, I would like to lead on very, very briefly to the real concern I have, and that is that while a model to engage with a community interest group, and one as vital as Te Arawa, is a wonderful concept and should never be ever discarded, I would just like to remind all that, in fact, that relationship is not the only one which I believe council should engage in. And it's my suggestion, Madam Chair, that, in fact, we look around before we actually finalise this process, and we look at other opportunities for consultative process and, indeed, engagement with other organisations. And I give you an example of one or two where other representations, such as the rural sector through Federated Farmers, for example, for the business community, in which I'm vitally interested, might be engaged through the Chamber of Commerce. And dare I say it, the old Lakes Protection Society might like to think that they too had a special interest in protecting the lakes of this district, and they may well feel the same need for representation. So there are three groups that council might engage with, and that we shouldn't think that there is only the need for a partnership one, albeit such a wonderful one. I believe that there are others that council might take on board and engage with in much the same way as they're proposing to do with Te Arawa. So how do we do that? And I'm looking forward now and suggesting that while I'm not an expert by any manner of means in local government, I can say this, that I can see, rather than this question about whether people are elected or should be elected or shouldn't, should vote, should not vote, I can see a system developing whereby council actually engages with a different relationship where six councillors, for example, of the 12 would be elected without portfolio, in other words, in the way they are now, and another six might be elected on the basis that they represent these different communities of interest that I have just explained, and that so there might be one representing the business community, might have been nominated with others through, say, the Chamber of Commerce, one might be through the Federated Farmers, and that you would then end up with six councillors who had a special obligation around the council table to provide information. advice and opinion on those matters that are directly related to them. And there, of course, this Te Arawa Partnership would fit perfectly easily in such an arrangement, but the people presented by Te Arawa, by Chamber of Commerce, by the Federated Farmers, would actually then stand for election by the council for that specific role. And people, everybody, not just the people who might be Te Arawa voting for Te Arawa, Chamber of Commerce voting for their members, everybody, every citizen of this community would be able to vote for a person that would then respect and reflect the interests of that particular group on council. And you'd have another bunch of councillors who would be without portfolio, who would indeed then be able to balance their own opinions based on the advice and information supplied by those special interests. So how far out that might be, I don't know, but that's the model I see is working best in the interest of this community, and that's the model that I believe might well fit with Te Arawa at its head, perhaps with two representatives, with the others having one to represent their sector of community. So that's my offering, Madam Chair, and I hope that it may have some pragmatic appeal to those who would like to see the future represented by elected members of council.
Thank you, Ken. And certainly that's a different option than we've had presented to us in the submissions. And there is an electoral review process underway, and some of those points are particularly pertinent for them, really pertinent for them, if only. So, you know, we might get there one day. But any questions?
Ken, thank you very much for your presentation. Tania and I are on the Representation Review Committee, along with Merepeka Raukawa Tait, and we'd certainly enjoy a submission along the lines that you have preferred here today to accentuate the and put your reasons why you want those particular things to happen.
I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Recorded too, so if you forget what you said, we've got it on record and you could get it printed and off to them.
Madam Chair, I'm not that old yet, I hope.
Good on you. Are there any other questions?
I did get here on time.
Aye. Any other questions? Councillor Bendick.
Thank you, Ken, for your presentation. You threw something else into the mix that's got me considering another avenue. And I thank you for that. Sorry, there's no question.
Any other questions? Well, thank you for coming and submitting, taking the time and the effort, everybody. It's great that you've all participated. Now we move to Te Taru White. And I've got in brackets from Te Arawa Whauma, so you can speak to that, Te Taru. And for councillors, while you come to the table, 1568 on page 180. Thank you.
Tēnā rā tātou katoa, Te Arawa Waka, Te Arawa Tangata, Ngā Mā Tā Waka, tātou katoa e wīwi mai nei, tēnei rā, tēnei te mihi atu ki a koutou. E te mea me hoki, ngā kaunihera, ngā mea mo te kaunihera, wīwi mai nei, tēnei rā, kei te mihi atu ki a koutou. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
Madam Chair, I hereby present the submission for the Te Arawa Federation of Māori Authorities. I will say at the outset that the Te Arawa Federation of Māori Authorities, with its membership, totally supports in principle the intention to effectively partner with Te Arawa. We have been involved in the discussions and the consultation process, which has been robust as far as we're concerned, and we are happy with the proposal as it's been presented. Madam Chair, there is an element of emotion in my presentation because being Te Arawa, it is not difficult to be emotional in this space. The Te Arawa Confederation of Māori Tribes have been here on these sacred lands, mai rā no, since time immemorial, and will be here, moake tonu atu, forever. We are the original people of these lands. This land, this whenua, is the umbilical that ties Te Arawa to the very essence of nature itself. Ko te whenua, we are inseparable. She has fed us, she has clothed us, she has sheltered us. She is our mother papatūnuku created by the very hands of the Creator, the gift of life without which, without whom, we are nothing. We have fought for her, spilled our blood in pre-colonial and post-colonial times. We partnered with early colonial forces in the 19th century to bring their sense of law, LAW, and order to these lands. We fought in the Great Wars. We fought alongside our whanaunga, our relations of the famed 28th Māori Battalion. We fought for our people, our lands, our place. We now humbly seek your audience and ask you, the democratically elected members of council, to open your hearts and minds to see who we are, what we are, what we have to offer, and accept our extended hand in the spirit of goodwill, good faith, and true partnership. That, Madam Chair, is my emotional outburst. The critical question is not whether democracy has been exercised, because by mere virtue of you being around the table making the final decision, to us that's democracy happening. And I assume that you've taken all the advice necessary in that space. But we look to you for your wisdom, whether you believe a partnership with Te Arawa is of value, the extent of that value, and the circumstances past and present that give context to that value. In other words, what is the equity that Te Arawa brings to the table? What is a just and fair decision in that respect? Here are our primary reasons for actually articulating our support for this particular proposal. We've been here for centuries, I've already said that. We are the tangata whenua, the people of the land. We may claim mai makatika tongarero, from Makatu on the coastline to Tongarua in the national park. Our occupation and our laws, LLRES, have prevailed to this day and beyond. That in itself makes us a special classification, a position of people. We have fought for the right to be here. Our people have spilt their blood on these lands. We have fought in defence of our laws, and we have fought alongside early colonial forces to maintain their sense of laws, LAWS. And I make the distinction because we have another view of the laws. We coexisted in partnership, albeit strained at times. So there has been partnership in our history. Te Arawa have been generous and gracious partners, and it's probably been well said that Ngāti Whakaue provided these lands upon which we currently stand for the establishment of the Rotorua Township. And we're awarded one of three seats on the newly established town board in recognition of this generosity. This is not new space. Our partnership, our generosity was recognised. Te Arawa have the unique cultural connections to the natural geothermal resources. We're fundamental to the birth of tourism, modern tourism, in Aotearoa, New Zealand. We were the inaugural host of the myriad of international visitors who visited the famed Pink and White Terraces and have retained their reputation as gracious and hospitable hosts to this day. And, Your Worship the Mayor, we have supported the council in welcoming many, many visitors to our city. That's another expression of support and partnership. What is new? The Te Arawa Māori Trust Board was established in 1924 as recognised guardians of our lakes is further testimony to the special and unique role of Te Arawa in this district. This has been reaffirmed by the return of the ownership of the lake bared to Te Arawa and the establishment of a three-way partnership for management of the lakes for the benefit of our wider community. Again, the word partnership. The establishment of Te Arawa Standing Committee in 1993 to provide input into the Council's decision-making processes and to strengthen the relationship Council has with Te Arawa was heralded in the groundbreaking model for local government and iwi partnership at the time. Of course, through time and ongoing barriers to the proper functioning and powers, it became ineffectual, in our language, a nihomori, no teeth. And Te Arawa have presented their current model to empower and enable a more effective partnership to be established and recognise. In essence, it is a restructuring process to give effect to the strengthened partnership with Council. It is not to us a question of democracy. A more effective partnership with Te Arawa will mitigate the risk of future costly episodes, such as you had with the Rotorua wastewater treatment situation. The cost of Council, as I understand, was in excess of $1 million. That could have easily have been saved with a proper partnership response from Te Arawa. The proposed model with more clear purpose, functions and connection with stakeholders will help avoid future costly incursions, in our view. The judgment by the Environmental Court simply mirrors the statutory responsibilities that the Council has in terms of the Local Government Act 2002 and the Resource Management Act 1991 to engage, and I emphasise this, to engage and work closely with tangata whenua to recognise the Treaty of Waitangi and to facilitate participation by Māori in Council decision making. We're asking to give effect to that responsibility. There is increasing awareness that meaningful engagement between Council and iwi can result in more informed decision-making, more streamlined processes and better quality outcomes for our wider community. This is what Te Arawa wants to happen in our partnership model. And there is everything in our history of giving to our community from time of first engagement to suggest Te Arawa will honour this partnership into the future. The question is, can the Council do the same? If this is not enough, it was revealed in a recent Rotorua Business Leaders Forum that the top five Māori trusts and corporations in this district have a collective asset value of approximately $800 million. Te Arawa has the most land trusts and corporations in our region, something around 200 to 300 of them. And it's sensible to suggest that our asset value is well in excess of $1.5 billion. And it's not hard to see that growing over the next decade to almost double that. So it's a significant economic contributor in the space. We are not, the other thing is too, that we are not fair weather friends. We're not investors that are here today, gone tomorrow. We are here forever. So what sort of investor can better that? No one. In summary, the Te Arawa Federation of Māori Authorities strongly supports the intention to partner with Te Arawa. Our history of giving, our presence and connection with the land is deserving of special consideration, along with all the socio-economic benefits that will accrue from such a relationship. The announcement by yourself, Your Worship, there was a commitment to a strong and enduring relationship with Te Arawa as part of the Council's commitment to developing a new partnership model with Te Arawa was like music to our ears because it's been a long time coming. However, good things take time to mature, and we liken it to the mighty totara that takes generations to mature, but when it does, it stands tall and proud. So, Madam Chair, the aspects of why we agree to the model, well, they're listed there for your reading. I won't go into those. I just want to jump straight to the issue of, is there another option? There are many precedences that have been set around the country for involvement of Māori and council decision processes, ranging from the establishment of Māori wards to advisory committees. The Te Arawa Federation of Māori Authorities is fully aware that the council is cognizant of these precedences, so will not repeat them here. Suffice to say, those precedences with the demands of the acts responsible for partnerships and with I'm sure, a legal counsel giving you all the best advice in the world, that democracy is not at threat here. It's a question of genuine partnership. However, the Te Arawa Federation of Māori Authorities is very clear that maintaining the status quo or no formal partnership is unacceptable. To do so would be an insult to Te Arawa for all the reasons we have stated in our submission. The modified model proposed by Te Arawa has been given considerable thought by our people and in our view will maximise effective value contribution to the council and the community at large and importantly cement our relationship so we can move forward together. Kia whakakota hi tata. There is no way that Te Arawa wants to be separate in this move. We want to be part of the community and establish our special position, if you like, of history and partnership in that respect. In conclusion, Madam Chair, the Te Arawa Federation of Māori Authorities wishes to thank Your Worship, the Mayor and members of the Council for the opportunity to present our submission in support of the proposed Te Arawa partnership model. Your job is not yet done and you have an important decision to make for the betterment of our community. There have been many divisive opinions on this matter, but what it all comes down to is making the best decision for our people, our place and our home. We acknowledge the courageous steps you have taken to get to this particular point, an important nexus point for our community, without doubt. Whatever you decide will inevitably reflect the courage of your convictions, and we wish you well. Finally, to the Te Arawa Working Group, ably led by the young and emerging talent of our people who will no doubt contribute a lot to the future of this community. Ngā mihi ki a koutou mō koutou mahi tino pai I raru I te maru o Te Arawa. We greet you, we acknowledge you, and we have great faith that your efforts will not be in vain. Kia kaha, kia maia, kia manawa nui. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Tutaru, we don't actually have time for questions, But that's how we're being fair to everyone, and it was all in there very succinctly. Thank you. Thank you. And now we call on Mr. Hillsby. So for councillors, this is submission 1653, page 198.
Good afternoon, Your Worship, councillors. I must say I'm impressed by the eloquence of our speakers here. I will do my best to match this. Do I support the principle of the intention to effectively partner with Te Arawa? No, I do not support a democratically elected council partnering with Te Arawa or any other group. Partnership in the Te Arawa proposal implies a sharing of power between the council and Te Arawa. It completely contradicts the guide on local government located on the council website. I quote regarding the role of the councillor, "Your mandate is to take the interests of the whole community into account, to reflect the wishes of most rather than a sole group or special interest faction. What aspects of the Te Ara proposal do I agree with? I don't agree with any of the Te Ara proposal, either option 2 or 3. As I've said, a partnership is power sharing and undemocratic. The move should be to build the council's capability, not to fragment it by divesting power into another group. What aspects of Te Ara proposal do I disagree with? The Te Ara proposal is done undemocratic and unfair, and is, as a result, in my opinion, leads itself readily to litigation. Council meetings will be biased by the presence of a special interest group which has the potential to ally itself with other councillors who are affiliated with Te Ara. It is divisive and breaks down the functioning of council. Council is there to see the interest of all, including Te Ara, are taken into account. I consider the idea of unelected committee members as reflection of the past. It is an appeasement. The future is a vibrant and functional council, having sensitivity to the cultural, spiritual and political needs of all. The needs of Māori and the rest of the community should be reflected in the advice the council receives externally and internally by expert advisors. If the council is not seen to fairly represent the need of certain Māori groups, then it's not doing its job. Any separate decision-making organisation will only weaken the knowledge base and decision-making within council. Is there another option? While Māori and other groups may have common cultural identity, I believe this is not true of political views. Political views are universally diverse. Clearly, by the recent submissions, it is a mistake to think that Māori are the only ones aggrieved by the political process. There is regular news of groups and individuals unhappy with their councils. Just like individuals, councils are fallible. There's not a reason for radical, undemocratic change, but as in all organisations, a reason for refinement of process, staff, training and accountability, etc. Councillors are democratically elected by all. Māori are well represented by councillors. Councils can only be successful if there is a two-way relationship between councillors and the community. This is the process of consultation, not partnership. The power to make decisions on our behalf is vested in our councillors, no one else. I propose a democratic governance model which draws from active council-supported Māori and community advisory boards. I have to say, though, having listened to the previous speaker on my left here, that his proposal also has some merit. It certainly reflects democracy, whereas the Te Ara solution certainly does not. The cost estimate of the Te Ara proposal appears to be unknown, so it is unsupported by any cost breakdown. The council is not in any position to consider extra costs. The impending rate increase and the current indebtedness of the council is a burden to the community. The deterioration in the state of housing in many of our suburbs is an indicator of the poverty that exists in Rotorua. After 14 years of discussion, Rotorua is still unable to support a homeless refuge due to lack of council finance and will. It may not be obvious to council, but this process and submission form are biased towards the Te Ara preferred option. It is not at all neutral. If I do not agree with partnering with Te Ara, it might imply I do not agree with consultation between Te Ara and the council. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is essential that council consult with Te Ara, other Māori and the wider community. The council have not sought to provide any analysis of council failings so we can understand the nature of the problems leading to the proposal. We're given no background of the failure of the Te Ara Standing Committee. It is trite to suggest it no longer meets the needs of council and Te Ara is a reasonable explanation. The promotion of the Te Ara proposal has polarised this process. I'm aware of the historical grievances of Māori, their patience and the time taken to bring about change and some closure. This has all ultimately been achieved as a result of the democratic process. There are nations all over the world struggling to have what we and remarkably few other have. The democracy that we and our forebears have formed and learnt to understand is the most valuable thing we as a nation have. I'm completely opposed to anything that undermines the democratic process, such as the Te Arawa proposal, and seek to strengthen what we already have. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I wish you well in your endeavours.
Councillor Maxwell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Helsby. Just two quick questions. You say you are not in favour of unelected people. Are you aware we already have that in our council with the audit and risk?
Yes.
Unelected people on there. And I support it. Unelected people on the tourism committee. I think it's good.
Yeah, that's subcommittee. So, yes, I respect
that. Still
a
committee.
I respect that.
Yeah. And the number two is you support the pro-democratic one where they put Te Arawa in a box and you say consultation should take place, but no consultation has taken place with Te Arawa.
Well, then I think you need to look at the people around this table.
No, sorry. So we're not debating it, but there was no consultation with Te Arawa and I don't think they want to bar it.
Oh, from pro-democracy.
Yes.
Sorry, I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Not because we don't want to consult with Te Arawa or pro-democracy don't want to consult with Te Arawa. This is the fundamental nature of the proposal, which is anti-democratic. That's what we see.
Thank you for your presentation.
Yeah. Councillor Gould.
Chair, thank you for your submission today. Can you, in your written submission on page 198, you've got and a community policy board. What do you mean by community policy board? Do you just mean policy only or working as a group or what?
Just a board that's it would have to be a group of individuals that elected representatives within themselves to speak with the council. In the end, it's only advisory.
Thank you, Mr. Helsby, and thank you for taking the time to submit and come before us.
Thank you.
We ask, I saw Catherine and Peter, are you coming together or apart? You come first, Catherine. Well, you are on my order paper first. Thank you. Councillors, submission number 517, page 69. Good afternoon.
Kia ora. I will keep this very short because I think it's been probably a long day for everybody, particularly for me. So I'm sure you won't mind if I am brief and to the point. First thing is that I thought about, is this proposed model necessary? And I think we've actually already heard lots of quotes from the Local Government Act from 2002. And with regard to the council's obligations under that act. And I see that having some form of liaison advisory board would meet the obligations of the council under that act. So all in all, the full proposal I don't see as actually necessary, particularly in terms of those voting rights, because the obligations under the Local Government Act can be met by, as I just said, having those advisory committees. It was very interesting. I've done a lot of reading and looking into this sort of thing. And I noted that Judge Anthony Wallace and Willie, and I have got, if anyone wants to check my quotes or references, I will leave these here as well, who actually said that councils have to be quite wary about activists using the treaty to make false claims under the treaty in order to pursue a push for power and control, particularly over public resources. And they are deliberately misleading and manipulating local and central government politicians. So we just have to keep that in mind when we are considering all activists, whatever their background or barrow that they wish to push, that your judgments, of course, have got to be mindful of those influences. Then in my further research, I looked into the models of that are proposed, similar to the Te Arawa model, that have been put into place in places like Bangladesh, Brazil, Malaysia, India, Pakistan, where they have ethnic minorities, where they have actually done a quota system and appointed people to various committees, and what's actually been the fallout from that, or the results. And there's a very good report, if the council care to consult, called the International Review of Public Policies Towards Improving Intercommunity Relations. And this international report has looked at similar models to the Te Arawa one, and has found that the fallout actually is in terms of polarisation and other unfortunate consequences for the community. So we have to be very careful about going down this path. The other thing I thought was really interesting, where there's been a quota system put in place where you've got appointed electives, appointed representatives on committees, what actually happens is because they have been appointed rather than elected, what has been found is that they actually fail to really represent the interests of the minorities that they have been appointed to represent, because they lack the incentive to actually adequately represent those communities. And this has been an international study found, so I thought it was very interesting to point out. So while the Te Arawa appointees may be appointed with the best interests of Te Arawa at heart, what's been found is that the results down the track is that Te Arawa interests may not actually be fully represented adequately by those appointees. So just in conclusion, I say that we shouldn't be looking back to the past, but to the future. We shouldn't define ourselves by past injustices, but look forward to shared opportunities in the future. And we are one people with equal rights. He iwi tahi tato. We are one people.
Catherine, have we got any questions? Karen?
And thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Are you aware that under the Resource Management Act, they have recognised that, yes, we are all New Zealanders, but in fact there are two world views, and there is now a whole chapter to recognise the Māori world view in the decision-making process under the Resource Management Act?
Yes, I'm aware of those paradigms, and they are met it quite adequately by having advisory committees. My whole point rests on the failure of such models where you have appointed as opposed elected community representatives, and those models just don't work. That's my concern. They don't work, they're divisive.
It's Luepa, and then Kate Stewart.
Hi, Cathy. Thanks very much for coming in. Just to elaborate, and certainly if you leave those references, I'll try and take the time to look at, okay, at those models that you've referred to. But I just wondered, when you were saying that the appointment caused divisiveness, did they have the model that is proposed by Te Arawa where they would actually elect people and that then they themselves would then put them onto the committee if we're happy with the skills, attributes and qualities. But at any time, Te Arawa could say, well, they're not representing us properly. Have any of them had that sort of model that you've researched to date?
Not exactly like that. Because, you see, what happens is the way that the rest of the community view the process, because then you've got one minority who are acting like an independent organised community within the greater community, and that is what has been seen to be divisive and polarising within the community, where the whole community can work together rather than actually divide it up and give power to this community as opposed to the rest. That is what has been seen as being polarising and divisive.
Oh, sorry. A long day. Councillor Maxwell, then Councillor Sturt.
Hello, Kath. Kia ora. You say you do a lot of reading. Did you do a lot of reading on the history of Te Arawa, especially the generosity of Ngāti Whakaure?
Oh, definitely. Because I'm third generation Rotorua. My grandparents are actually buried on Mount Ngongataha. So, you know, my parents and grandparents have contributed to this town in many, many ways.
It's just that I noticed you just called them an interest group. I thought that history, you might think that they're a bit more than an interest group.
I'm very much aware of Te Arawa's contribution, but the reference to interest group was because of that was the wording in the study that I consulted.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Thank you. In your studies, Kathy, and thank you for your submission, you are aware of our obligations under the Local Government Act, where it says the local authority must, not might, could or would, it must.
Yeah, provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority.
I've got
the quote from the Act, because I've read the Act.
And consider ways in which it may foster the development of Māori capacity to contribute to the decision-making process of the local authority.
Yes.
So how do you think we should meet that obligations if you do not support the model as suggested?
I said that I didn't actually support the voting part of the model. It's only the voting part, because that is based upon the fact that such models don't work.
Thank you for that, Catherine. And now we'll ask Peter. I can't see you. Oh, there you are. Hello, Peter. Last but not least, Peter.
Oh, am I?
That's right.
Well, nice to follow up.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to all the councillors as well. I know most of you. I'm going to be quite brief too, partly because I'm not half the researcher my wife is. I don't believe that being long-winded about things is going to make a lot of difference. I do believe that every interest group has, and Councillor Maxwell, I use the interest group to de-emotionalise my comments. Every interest group has a right to lobby RDC in order for democracy to prevail. We supposedly live in a democratic society, so anybody with an interest should be able to. I believe that no interest group has any superior right to influence council decisions to the detriment of any other group. The council prides itself on being forward-looking and thinking. This is a good time to stop looking backwards. There have been mistakes made in the past on all counts. None of us are blameless, and I think that we need to just look forward. Just because there is a precedent doesn't mean that it was a good precedent. Just as if there is no precedent, that an idea is necessarily a bad idea. And just as because something is legal doesn't make it just or good. I believe that this is an opportunity for council to create a template that any interest group can use to establish a formal communication channel between itself and the council. So if this is done correctly, whether it be federated farmers or solo mothers, whatever, that they can use the template to create a body that can work with council. So the council is dealing with specific interest groups at a level where every one of you doesn't have to deal with a whole bunch of 1,000 different individuals that are all speaking across each other. If RDC were to accept Te Arawa's preferred, there seems to be a bit of confusion, certainly to me anyway, as to whether it's Te Arawa's preferred option or whether it is the council's preferred option. I know that the proposal was put forward by Te Arawa with several options, but I might be getting a bit out there. It would be very difficult for the council to reject any other non-Maori group's application for equal treatment on anything other than racially based grounds, which I do find offensive. And while it may be legal under the Local Authorities Act, is it legal under all other legislation, including equal opportunity, anti-discrimination, etc. legislation? It's sort of very easy to get caught up looking at one bit, not another bit. And to sum up, I see whoever owns that computer's into Peter Blake. There's a quote of his. There's down the middle there somewhere, Sir Peter Blake bio poem, is it? And famous Red Sox folders there. One of his catchphrases was, "Will it make the boat go faster?" And I think that's something that we can look at here. Is this actually going to make for better governance and a better district to live in for all of the community? Thank you.
It's our challenge. just to clarify, we received the Te Arawa proposal and we voted for that to go out to a special consultative procedure along with the other options. So that was the process. This is the consultative procedure and we added extra time to it. Yeah. Councillor Sturt.
Peter, also for your submission, which falls definitely in behind every good man is a wonderful lady. and she obviously does her research. So in your view, in what I've heard today, Te Arawa hold no special status in your view in Rotorua?
No, that's not correct. I think they do hold special status, but I don't think that they should necessarily have an overriding position over all other citizens.
Thank you.
Hunt, then Councillor Bent.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Can you just explain why you would see this step as detrimental to the rest of the community?
Good question.
Any situation where a non-elected member has voting rights, it has the potential for railroading, bulldozing, whatever you want to call it, because they are not representing the community at large.
Just to further that, how then can you explain how two votes over 13 could override the majority, and that's at the committee level, when the final decision goes to the council level and only those 13 elected members? So please explain to me how your understanding of how they could railroad or control a decision.
I just want to be a bit careful about this response. I grew up in Western Heights. I went to Western Heights Primary School, Kaitau Intermediate School, Western Heights High School. We were known by various names. I lived in Gordon Road. We were known as various terms as light bulb and the like because we were the white boys in the school. We stood out, we glowed. There have been various times when I have expressed a viewpoint or taken a stand on something and been accused of being racist. And so the fear of that accusation can cause people to buckle. I believe that we all live in this town, we are all equals. And my wife was slightly remiss that she forgot that her great-uncle, I think, has got a photo on the wall out there. He was a member of the Rotorua Town Council before it became even a borough, I think. So, you know, as two families, we've got a fairly long involvement in this town. If we did not like or could not live with Te Arawa and Māori, we would not be here. But I do believe that there are pressures, subtle as they may be, that can cause people to allow things to happen that they may not otherwise wish to happen.
Final question. So Are you uncomfortable that the councillors are the final gatekeepers of those decisions? Are you uncomfortable that we won't, with the best interests of the whole community, make sure we see any untoward behaviour or temper any decision-making that we feel is not in the best interests of the whole community?
Not at all. I'd look at it from the other perspective and say that I have confidence in the elected councillors being the gatekeepers of good policy to this town. And that they need, as elected members, as representatives of everybody, that is their role.
That the proposal at this point is not suggesting anyone unelected has that final decision. You're aware of that distinction between the committee level, which is a recommendation from the committee, to be stamped at a full council meeting only by elected members. So does that distinction
I understand matter? The distinction. I understand the distinction, but it is a worryingly small step on an incremental shift, in my mind.
Okay. Thank you, Peter, for taking the time to come and present your submission. Do any of the proposed models meet your preferred option?
There was one of them there, and I can't remember which one it was. I fully support, and I said in my notes now, I didn't actually bring a copy of my original submission, so I apologise if it's in slight variance to what you've got written there. I endorse the opportunity for any group to establish a committee, a board, a association to lobby council to promote their concerns and interests. I do not believe, however, that any unelected member should have any voting right on any council, committee or group.
Very clear. Thank you. And that's the end. We did have the offer of one more submitter to come up if we had a gap, but I can look at my colleagues and they all look tired. And I think it is appropriate that we finish when we were scheduled to finish. But I thank you, Mr. Rahurui, for offering to come. But, yeah, thanks. If you could leave it till next week. I think we've been sitting at the table from 9:30 this morning with some very weighty decisions. So thank you, everybody, for being here, for participating. And have a safe weekend, and we'll reconvene on Tuesday.